Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
We see in the church covenant, and more importantly in the Word of God, without these scriptural truths, whatever man writes down here has no scriptural authority. It has no godly power whatsoever. But this covenant is to remind us to enforce the principles that are taught. That's why the further that you dig into this, the more seriousness the issue at hand, that you realize we need to know what we've covenanted together to do and actively be involved in obeying it and carrying it out. Then we get to the doctrines. Exhortation in doctrine is needful, and the Bible says it furnishes one unto all good works. You can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Doctrine that you promised to sustain furnishes all of us unto good works. And one must know the doctrines in order to uphold or to sustain them well. The term doctrine means, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean a preacher's personal preference. It does not mean a tradition passed down over the methods of man. What the term doctrine does mean is an established or an accepted teaching. In our Lord's church, has established teachings which every member should learn and should uphold. By doing this, you will be able to avoid being tossed about by every wind of heresy. And there are many. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14. And doctrine, knowing what the Bible teaches us and upholding it, protects us from being led astray by false or bad doctrine. And so we vow to uphold it, just like the worship. You can't uphold or sustain it if you're not here. The doctrines, you cannot sustain them if you do not know what they are. This is why it's important for every member of a church to get into the Word of God for themselves and know what does it say. Not just because the preacher gets up here and tells you week after week it's a good thing for you to do, but because if you have joined yourself to this body as a member, you have made a pledge to do this, a vow that you will uphold the doctrines. Then we get to everybody's favorite part, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. You ever wonder why Baptists take up so many offerings? Because we promise to participate in them. Did you know as part of our worship, the Bible makes it, one vows to financially support the church. Well, I didn't agree to that. I'll read my Bible, and I'll pray for the things you ask for. I'll be here when doors are open, but you're not getting my money. I hate to break it to you, but did you know that you promised the church, not the pastor, not you promised the church your money, that you would sustain it, that you would contribute towards it? You, as an individual, you didn't, in fact, only agree to participate in giving. You pledged yourself to the regular act of it. So may I set forth to you this morning that a church dies. I got to kind of start winding things down until time just will not allow us to get through all of these in great detail. A church dies when its covenant is broken. Now you ponder that and you let that sink in. So that's not true. A church dies when they quit winning people to Christ. It's there. Okay. A church dies when the people stop coming to church. It's there. A church dies when the people stop giving financially. It's there. A church dies when they have schisms and divisions and they fight and bad. It's there. It's there. It's there. You give me a reason that a church withers away and dies, and I can almost guarantee you the covenant has been broken. It has not been addressed and it has not been remedied. And as a result, that church dies. Why? Whew. All right, time will not allow. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God abode there among the tabernacle at the temple to meet with the people. Did you know here in the New Testament church, and you've heard this before, you are not the Lord's temple. The Bible refers to our bodies as tabernacles, but a group of believers covenant together, the Bible explicitly say, is a temple of the Lord. Not you as an individual, but as a collective that have come together. That's why when the Bible talks about where two or three are gathered in my name, what's the verse that we have up there for this morning on the screen? There am I in the midst of them. There is a special abiding presence of God amongst believers covenant together to carry out the commands of Christ. Now, don't throw me out, but when believers break that covenant, when the Lord is no longer pleased with their worship, the special presence that's reserved for that kind of a gathering is withdrawn. We see that principle all throughout the Old Testament. Now, he never withdraws the Holy Spirit from a believer. You are sealed for eternity. But that special presence and that special power, when we have to gather to meet, he will draw it back. Why? Well, because we're not meeting together in his name anymore. Churches lose the ability to affect the world around them because the power to do so that's given by God is drawn back because of the way that they exercise themselves. Now, that's a little deep for a Sunday morning principle, but you need to know and you need to understand the privilege that it is to be a part of a body of Christ that God empowers and works through to accomplish his purpose. That is why we band together and we promise, okay, Lord, the things that you've said your church will do, I will do them. Brother Temple, he says these things that the Lord requires of his church, he says, we gather to carry out these commands after such. The church is not empowered by man. It is not authorized by man. And as such, when we make pledges and vows in regards to the work of the church, these are to God. And they are to be taken very seriously. And we are to examine ourselves to see, do we uphold these principles outlined in the church covenant? Well, one of these is the giving, and we ought to give regularly and cheerfully. It all belongs to God anyway. God has not directly legislated the amount that one is to give, but a tithe, a one-tenth, should be a minimum standard. Minimum. So that's a lot. Have you ever looked, you know, tax season come up in several months? You know how much the government asks of you? Last time I added up, it was more than one-tenth that I sent to Uncle Sam. And here we want to kick back at God because he asked, it's his anyway. And we'll give to this place, this group, that group, so much more. And when it comes time for God, well, I gave to him last week. Church has enough money. The church, it doesn't matter. It's part of your worship. The church could have $10 in the account. It could have $10 million in the account. You've pledged to give as part of your worship so that as a church body, what we do is pleasing and acceptable. And you are lucky because time is out, so we can't talk about money anymore. But I hope you understand the importance of what we do as a body of Christ. And I hope you understand your importance and the part that you play in it. And I will close with this. We actually, years ago, we lost church member, a couple of them, over this statement that my papa made. He said, every new member is a potential problem. And they got upset. They thought he was talking about them, that they were going to be problems in the church. And they said, well, never mind, I don't want to be a part of this church. That's not what he meant. He was outlining the responsibility, the privilege you have been granted to be associated with this church. You must uphold certain biblical standards and values. Otherwise, you bring a reproach upon the church body as it is a privilege, not an entitlement, to be a member of the Lord's New Testament Church. And may we treat it. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we will finish the church covenant. And if you thought we were on high speed this morning, you just have to play the video back a lot slower tonight. We got to wrap it up. But I hope that you will read the covenant and understand the principles contained therein because they are set forth by Scripture and not by the mind. That way, our worship can truly be pleasing and acceptable. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time this morning in worship, our time together studying your word. We just pray that we would recognize what a wonderful opportunity we've been granted to be able to carry out, to have a part in your church, to carry out your commands. Lord, may we take this role seriously, may we be found faithful.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.